for bringing me to Narcotics Anonymous. I'd like to thank Narcotics Anonymous for bringing me closer to the God of my understanding. Committee for giving me this opportunity to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope, and participate another day in my recovery. This is truly an honor for me. And, you know, today I'm going to talk about a little bit about my process of recovery. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to quote literature from the book. I'm going to talk about God, and I'm going to talk about my process of recovery. Because the literature does not lie. You know, I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous with a fractured personality and a broken spirit. I was at my wit's end, and our traditions say that there's only one requirement for membership to this fellowship, and that's a desire to stop using. And I can also identify with the fact of having the desire but did not know how to stop or what format to take to begin the process of stopping. I was told that early on in my process that, you know, those that forget where they come from are doomed to repeat. And I'm real grateful. I'm real grateful for, you know, the Lower Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous, because it shattered my last excuse for using. Because you know, I always had this idea that because I was black, because I came from the inner city, you know, I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey, and because I'm black, I come from the inner city, that, you know, that was a reason to continue using, because people really didn't know unless you lived in the city and been in the hood in the projects. But thank God for a thorough ass whooping and the Lower Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous, because when I came to the Lower Mountain Highlands area, our literature says that our greatest strength in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is our diversity within the fellowship. That means the different ethnicities, races, religions, and the whole nine. And what I found out, you know, when I came to the Lower Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous, because where I grew up at, you know, there was no white people. There was only, you know, African American. I came from an all black city, and you know, like I said, I had this idea in my head that the disease of addiction and using was something that happened only in the inner cities. You know, but when I came to Lower Mountain Highlands area, Altoona and whatnot, you know, I realized that, you know, from looking around the rooms of the fellowships here in our area, that, you know, the disease of addiction is an equal opportunity ass whooper. Because I've seen all kind of faces, ethnicities in here, you know, and that shattered my last excuse for continuing to use and feeling like, to some degree, that I was unique, you know, in my disease. And right now, I know right now at this very moment, somewhere in Indiana Township, there's somebody in the back of a barn shooting drugs. Or somebody up in Cambria County somewhere on a farm behind a cow smoking crack. It ain't just in the inner cities no more. It's at epidemic level. So, you know, my fantasy about and my excuse that it was only an inner city problem, you know, was shattered when I came here and I got in touch with the diversity in our fellowship. I truly believe in the literature, you know, and the literature tells me, you know, in no uncertain terms, you know, what I found out that I needed to do. You know, they asked me to speak on the topic of, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. And our literature says that what we do in this fellowship is we come to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and what happens for us in our meetings is that we lose the desire to use just for the day, one day at a time. And the hit and the key and the second part to that is that we find a new way to live. Topic being, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. I wanted to kind of figure out how that, you know, coincided with one another. So what I needed to do was I needed to start to do some research on my disease of addiction, and I want to talk about my process. And when I began to do the research on the disease of addiction, I needed to find out where the disease of addiction affected me at. And what I found out from our literature, from meetings, and from sponsorship in this fellowship is that the disease of addiction is a threefold disease. It affects us physically, mentally, and spiritually. It attacks our ideas, our attitudes, and behaviors. So if we come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we get some acceptance and we surrender to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, we stop using. We gain some abstinence. And that's what not using is. It's simply abstinence. And abstinence does not equal recovery. I found that out. You know, and say it again, Rich. Oh, is it? Okay. I'm sorry. Abstinence does not equal recovery. And what I had to find out was how the second part of that was that we find a new way to live. That was the tricky part for me. You know, and talking about if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. I had to find out what parts of my lifestyle was characteristic of the disease of addiction. Now, the literature also says that there are three indispensables in this program. In order to begin the process of recovery, I had to get in touch with the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willingness. And the honesty piece was easy for me because I said earlier, you know what I'm saying, thank God for a thorough ass whooping. I had been to the bottom. Yeah, I had enough. You know what I'm saying? When I arrived at the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I was institutionalized, hostile, aggressive, confrontational, manipulative, what I like to call my unspiritual principles that I had in tow that in active addiction were assets. But when we talk about this form of recovery, you know what I'm saying? They were stumbling blocks. They were pitfalls. They were things that would continue, if I continued to practice, that would cause me to still suffer consequences. So what I had to do was get in touch with the three indispensables, the honesty, open-mindedness, and the willingness. The open-mindedness was, you know, I had to become willing to take some suggestions on how to live from some other people. I had to understand that the way that I had been living up until the point that I arrived here was not working for me, was consistently getting me consequences. And the consequences were never good. You know, I need to say that too. You know what I'm saying? And then the most important part, what was I willing to do in order to allow my process of recovery to begin to manifest itself in my life? So I had to begin to do some research on the disease of addiction. They said, you know, I'm the three indispensables. So there's another three that I had to get in touch with, the areas in which the disease affected me, my ideas, my attitudes, and behaviors. And we're talking about the lifestyle. I have to look in those areas because the process of recovery is about improving the quality of your life as well as the integrity of your character. Integrity to me means, you know, being who I say I am, having some work, standing on my word, being accountable for what I do, how I act, and what I say. You know, and that's real important because you're talking about the lifestyle. There's some things that go along with the lifestyle of being in active addiction, and I'm talking about the dishonesty. I'm talking about still, you know, like my clean date is February 10th, 2003. You know, I'm currently living in my eighth year of continuous clean time in this process uninterrupted. And I don't say that, you know, to seem like, you know, I'm greater than or anything like that. I say that to let the newcomer know that this program does work, because when I got here 8 years and some change ago, I knew nothing that I'm talking about today about the program of Narcotics Anonymous and how to live, and more importantly, how to live by some spiritual principles one day at a time just for the day. I did not know. You know what I'm saying? Everything that I'm talking about here today, the principles that I live by today, I learned over a period of time in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. They talk about that that this is a process. You know what I'm saying? I said the disease was threefold, physical, spiritual, and mental, and the process of recovery is threefold as well. You know what I'm saying? There's the program, the literature, which always works if you work it, if you apply it. Then there's the process, what you do in your own process of recovery. And then there's the fellowship, which is the third part. And that's where I struggle at sometimes. I struggle with the fellowship because, you know, it's still not the most comfortable thing for me to open up to another individual, for me to talk about me. You know what I'm saying? It's still not the most comfortable thing to do. I have gotten better with it. You know what I'm saying? And more importantly, I still find it hard, you know, to take a compliment or an accolade from somebody else in this fellowship. You know, I've had people come to me. I've spoke at conventions, speaker jams. I've done all kind of service in this fellowship because I truly believe that service, what I'm doing here today, is the rent that I pay for the freedom that I've gotten from the program of Narcotics Anonymous. They say in our literature that we keep what we have by giving away what was freely given to us, you know, and I want to keep this because as a result of this program today, I can honestly say that I'm living better than I ever have in my life. Better than I ever have in my life. And I have the program of Narcotics Anonymous to attest it to. You know, Narcotics Anonymous is not my whole life, but it has truly given me back a life that's whole. You understand what I'm saying? This program affords me the ability to take an inventory on myself. And talking about if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. I have to be conscious of my ideas, my attitudes, and behaviors, because I still have addictive ideas, addictive attitudes, and addictive behaviors. Point in reference, I'm going to tell you. I have a universal remote at my apartment, you know, for my color TV. We're talking about 8 years clean, right? I go to Walmart. My remote wasn't working no more. I go to Walmart. You know, and I go to Walmart. My intention was to buy me some AAA batteries for my remote, right? I go get the AAA batteries. I'm looking for them, Duracell, Energizer, and whatnot. But here's the lifestyle that still creeps into my thinking sometimes. I picked up the batteries. I got a pocket full of a couple of $100. But I pick up the batteries, and I'm looking at them, and they this big. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at the batteries, and then my head does that addict move. You know what I'm saying? The batteries wasn't but $249, but the mentality, the lifestyle is still in there. You know what I'm saying? It's still in there. I have to catch myself sometime. You know, we're talking about the drugs don't kill, the lifestyle will. Now, the consequence would have been, suppose I took those batteries and somebody seen me. And I got to the door, you know what I'm saying? And then they want to arrest me. And in Altoona, they put your ass in the front page of the newspaper for, you know, a pack of batteries and whatnot. So now I'm dealing with shame and guilt, you know what I'm saying? He stole batteries, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm talking about the lifestyle behaviors, dishonesty. I'm talking about, it says, your ideas, your attitudes and behaviors. You know what I'm saying? I need to be mindful. One of the things that I have a sponsor, and I believe he's the greatest sponsor in the world. I love my sponsor. And one of the things that I admire about my sponsor's process is his diplomacy. Something that I'm not really good with yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm the type of person that, you know, when it comes to recovery, I'm real passionate about this because this thing has truly changed my life. I'm going to tell you my greatest accomplishment to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, if you were to ask me what was the best quality about me when I was in active addiction and in the street, I was dishonest and I could jail like a motherfucker. I had a PhD in how to jail. I've been to every prison in the state of New Jersey and got state numbers in two other states, and here's the hit and the kick. I never went to prison because I was trying to pay my bills, feed my family, or buy anything for my kids. Never. It was always because of trying to find ways and means to get more. The dishonesty of the lifestyle that you live when you're in active addiction. So my ideas, I have to be conscious and careful of the ideas that come into my head right now. Because as a result of active addiction, I had a lot of wreckage of my past. And here's another a thing of the lifestyle, you know, that creeps into your head. Our literature suggests that we stay away from people, places, or things we use with or at. That we not place ourselves in positions that would be unconducive to the lifestyle and the process of recovery that we're living. So here's the deal. I come into the process of recovery, not unlike a lot of us. I had a whole lot of debt with the legal system, costs and fines, up the yin yang. I had child support that was up the yin yang that I was paying. You know what I'm saying? And here I am, just starting out in recovery, with a minimum wage job, as a dishwasher at a restaurant. You know, and I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm just making it. I'm paying my rent. I'm paying my bills and stuff. And then, you know, I had to sacrifice some stuff. So the refrigerator was something that I had to sacrifice. So along the way, and I'm talking about ideas now, you know, the lifestyle affected my ideas. You know, because of where I lived at, I lived over top of a store, a mom and pop store, and right next to the store was a bar. And because I live in this neighborhood, the owner of the bar seen me going and coming, always respectful, never living there for 3 years, never entered his bar, and he had some banging food sometimes, smelling good coming out of there, never entered his bar to buy french fries or soda or anything. You know what I'm saying? Was always pleasant. How you doing? Minding my business. And him being a bar owner, he know who's in touch with the riffraff. You know what I'm saying? So he approaches me one day and he says, now I'm having all these financial problems. He approaches me one day and he says, hey, you know, and I'm not a small guy. He says, hey, I'm Eric. How you doing? You know what I'm saying? He said, I wanted to ask you a question. And I said, sure. And I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Work for you doing what? And he says, well, you know, work on the door, checking IDs and being a bouncer. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know what I'm saying? How much you want to pay me? He said, I'll give you $50 a night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, my addict thinking, you know, we some real smart jokers. I added up that real quick and I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? And this is untaxed dollars. So, at first, my addict thinking says, man, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm over now. You know what I'm saying? My financial dilemma is being solved. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay. I was taught in the program. You know what I'm saying? That maybe, you know, I need to run it by some other addicts, some people in my support group. So I did that. So I go to my sponsor. And I says, hey, you know, I've been offered a job and whatnot. He's like, oh, yeah, offered a job where? And I said, you know, in the bar. And he gave me this look. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the bar. And what you supposed to be doing in the bar? I said, I'm working as a bouncer on the door. And I'm pleading my case because I'm thinking it's the most smartest thing in the world to do. But, you know, you know what they tell us in recovery. If you go to the barbershop long enough, chances are you're going to get a haircut. Or at least a shape up. You know what I mean? So he says, well, you know, you think that's a good idea? I said, yeah, $50 a night, four nights out the week, you know, ching, 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 ching. He says, okay, you know, that sounds good. He says, but think about this. You know what I'm saying? He says, you know, everybody that you're associating with at that bar is going to be under the influence of some kind of mind mood altering chemical. Isn't there somewhere in the literature that says stay away from people, places, or things that you use where they're at? You know, did you go to bars when you was using? Hell yeah, I hung out in bars drinking, you know, having shots after I got my groove on and stuff. He was like, okay, I'm just, you know, telling you. So he wasn't telling me what I wanted to hear. Bam, threw him to the side, you know what I'm saying? I goes and gets one of my sponsee brothers, and I call him up. And I don't know, some of y'all might know him. His name is Mike L. He's a little Italian dude from Philly. Sounds like one of the Sopranos. Everything out of his mouth. You fucking. You know, so I says, Mike, you know, I got this offer for a job. You know what I'm saying? This, that, and that. He's like, yeah, where? And I was like, at a bar. He was like, me alone. Go to no fucking bar with you out your fucking mind. We don't fucking do this shit. You know, the fucking letters. I'm like, Jesus Christ, let me get rid of him. And then after I talked to all these different people in my support group, and two of them are in this room right now, they all told me I was crazy. And the reason why, and one of them told me, he says, look, I know you. We hang out together all the time. I'm just going to give you a scenario. And I was like, okay. So I'm listening to him, and he tells me, he says, now, you and I know that you have some female issues. And this is a couple of years ago, right? He said, you got some female issues. He said, just hypothetically, suppose you're working on the door of this bar and your drug of choice in a female package walks in and she's sitting at the bar and she's drinking and, you know, giving you this, that, and the other, you know what I'm saying? And all you got to do to touch base her is come over and pull up, maybe have one with her, you know what I'm saying? Just saying, and he said, and here's the hit and the key. I lived right next door. It was real convenient, you know what I'm saying? Walk her right out of there and right up in my place, and I live alone, you know what I'm saying? But then what's the fallout after that? You know what I'm saying? This girl drinks and does whatever. She knows where you live at. You know what I'm saying? You can't get away from, you're creating a whole aura of stuff that you're trying to get away from. So I'm talking about the lifestyle of our thinking, our ideas, our attitudes. Now we want to talk about the behaviors. The behaviors. This is something that I really struggle with. You know, if the drugs don't get you, the lifestyle will. When I first came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I came from the mean streets of Newark, New Jersey, and I was really angry. I was institutionalized when I got here. And I told you, you know, like I've been to every prison in the state of New Jersey. I was the dude, and my first sponsor, he's got like 12 years clean in this process. And I was talking to him the other day, and he told me that when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous and I walked up to him and asked him to sponsor me, he said, I was apprehensive about saying yes. Because you were so hostile, you were so aggressive that I was thinking that, you know, if I told you something that you didn't want to hear, that I might have had to stab you. You know what I'm saying? And that's because I was so rough around the edges. I can honestly, truly remember this. There was a guy that attended our meetings down there. And I'm not trying to say anything about any physical disabilities, but this guy, one of his eyes went straight and the other one went like this. And we're sitting in the meeting, me and Mike, the guy I just talked about, little Italian dude, and another guy. We're sitting on the other side, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around the room and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Then I just started cursing and whatnot. And Mike says, what the fuck is wrong with you now, man? What the fuck, you know what I'm saying? And I said, this motherfucker over here, he keeps staring at me, right? And he was like, What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? And I said, this guy right there and whatnot. And he looked over at him and he said, man, one of his eyes is going this way and the other one's going this way. How can you tell who he's staring at? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying, you know, I was that confrontational when I first came here. You know what I'm saying? And being in that kind of lifestyle can separate me from the help. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the things I understand, and I said earlier that diversity is our greatest strength in the process of recovery, is that when I first came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous and I came to Altoona, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have any white friends. Where I used that and where I grew up at, the high school that I came, graduated a class of like 400 students, you know, in the senior class, not one was white. So when I came here, you know what I'm saying, I kind of had a little edge on me, you know, about white people. But here's what I found out, you know, getting in touch with the God of my understanding and doing the third step in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. What I understand is just because you sit there and you're white and you came from the mountain somewhere, does that mean that God can't use you as a vehicle to speak to me? And if I truly have a third step in my life where I believe that God speaks to me through people, you know what I'm saying? Who the hell am I to say that he can't speak to me through you because you come from a farm and you're white, you come from a mountain, I come from the projects. You know what I'm saying? I had to get a little more open-minded in my spirit. And as for today, you know, my best friend in this process of recovery is a gentleman that happens to be, you know, a white American. You know, he's no, seriously, he's like my brother. I would put my back balls to the wall and do anything for him, and he's sitting right there. You know what I'm saying? That is my brother. We have been through thick and thin together, this, that, and the other. I'll take him back home to the projects with me. They probably would feel a little funny about that, but you know what I'm saying? That's their thing, not mine. But, you know, this is the open-mindedness that I had to get with in this program in order to recover. You know, I want to read something about the literature and tell you, you know, for the newer members here to let you know why I believe so wholeheartedly in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. It says it right here in this book, and it captivated me when I first read it. It says here in book one that many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book primarily concerns itself with the nature of recovery. If you're an addict and have found this book, please give yourself a break and read it. And in the introduction, it says, "We have by no means found a cure for the disease of addiction. We offer only a proven plan of daily recovery." And see, that's where I'm at now in this process of my life, man. You know what I'm saying? And in my recovery, you know, I stand here before you. Okay, thanks. I stand here before you at no misconception about my disease of addiction. And my disease of addiction is this. You know, it says in the literature that the disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. The incurable part suggests to me that no matter how long I stay clean and serene in this process, I'll still suffer from the disease of addiction. The investment is whether this disease is under arrest or it's active. And the only way that I've learned to keep my disease under arrest is through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. The practical application of this program and the spiritual principles found in this program in my life on a daily basis. I am at no misconception about the fact that I am still capable of using any given day. But chances are, if I stay connected, I'll stay protected. And the protection is from me, because I can return to the lifestyle without the drug. Without the drug. And when I apply these principles to this program, it avoids me from having to deal with any of the consequences that I suffered in active addiction clean. Because we go to jail clean, we lose jobs clean, we lose friends and relationships clean if we're not conscious of how we deal with people. I believe that recovery is about relationships in a nutshell. Intimate relationships, relationship with yourself, relationship with God, relationship with your employer, with your friends, with your siblings and whatnot. And if you apply this program to those different relationships, all of those relationships will get better, will become healthier. You know what I'm saying? And I'm truly understanding of that. In closing, I'd like to say that, You know, this program says, you know, we come in here, we lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. You know what I'm saying? And for me today, it's continually about the journey, about being on the journey. And it's not the end of the journey that's going to matter, but the journey that's going to matter in the end. I mean, how am I living today? Am I living with some integrity? Am I doing what I need to do in life? You know what I'm saying? Am I doing what I need to do for my recovery? Am I making concessions to pitfall? Because I understand, you know, that in order to get screwed, I first got to get in position. And the program of Narcotics Anonymous has taught me how to stay out of the position where I cannot screw myself, because I understand that for a long time, I was a masochist. I put money in an ass-kicking machine and then stood in front of that machine and got my ass kicked. I don't want to do that no more. The program showed me how to move out of the way and start to do things to enhance my being instead of to keep pulling myself down. If you're new and you're in this program, give yourself a break. Get in touch. You know, get a home group. Get a sponsor. Take some suggestions. And don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens, because when I first got here, you know what I'm saying, I didn't believe that this program was for me. I thought you guys were all a cult. But today I understand, you know what I'm saying, this is the only place that I learned how to stop and stay stopped. My name's Eric. I'm an addict. Thanks for allowing me to share.